should be careful in choosing a spiritual master. It's not something that one should rush into or be pushed into, because one has to have faith that this person I can surrender, or this person I can trust, because he's representing Krishna. Krishna is the original spiritual master. Balaram is the original spiritual master, but that's Krishna. And because we can't perceive Krishna, even the super soul in the heart is trying to guide, but so this Krishna appears externally as the spiritual master, so that we can see him and he can see us and we can understand this is a real person and take guidance, like Prabhupada said, like we're singing these songs but we don't understand. Shri Guru, Mukha Padma Vakya Guru. We want only to hear the words from the spiritual master. We want, and Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat Prasado, that's translated different ways, but always the first part. By the mercy of the spiritual master, you know, when the spiritual master is pleased, then Krishna is pleased. And when the spiritual master is not pleased, then chaos. And we can go over, like with Srila Prabhupada, so many things that he told us to do, then we didn't exactly follow. The devotees thought, well, you know, he doesn't know, or they just couldn't understand. And then chaos occurred. We don't have to get into all the details. When we follow, and Brahmati Bhumati Kon Bhagavan Jeev, the living entity is wandering throughout the universe. Not only this universe, many universes, taking birth after birth in all kinds of different species. Finally, by the mercy of Krishna, we find a spiritual master. Krishna knows the heart, he knows the soul, and he sees, okay, now this soul is somehow ready, you know, become frustrated enough with trying to enjoy the material world, or, you know, realize that there's something beyond this, you know, material world, that we cannot find the absolute truth here. Then he sends a spiritual master. And then by the mercy of the spiritual master, we get Krishna. We need both. We need mercy. But the mercy is freely given. Krishna is giving mercy to everyone. He makes so many arrangements. First place, he creates the whole material creation. So those of us who are rebellious, you know, can exist, and we can try to fulfill our desire to enjoy and be the master, to be the controller. But he also makes all the arrangements within the material world. He comes himself so many times in all different stages of life. He sends so many great acharyas. He arranges that there's temples, and he arranges that there's scriptures, and he gives all the facility to get out. And now in this age, especially merciful, because people are especially degraded, especially fallen in Kali Yuga. So Lord Chaitanya, Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya and inaugurated the Sankirtan movement, which gives freely. Mahabharanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gaurat Tushay Namaha. That he's freely giving love of Godhead, which no incarnation ever gave before, by the chanting of the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Lord Chaitanya, then he opened up the storehouse of love of God and his associates, and he distributed it. And the more they distributed this, the more it increased, the more the supply increases. And it's different than material things. Usually distribute material things and they run out. But spiritual things don't run out. Sometimes I've seen in Africa, we have trouble sometimes getting books, and the devotees would have books and they wouldn't distribute them for fear that they would run out. You know, because, oh, well, if we distribute them, we won't have any more. But I said, well, you might. What's the difference if you have them and don't distribute them or you're out, right? But actually, when we distribute, we get more. Krishna, you know, fills in. He won't fill in something that's full, but I learned in junior high school physics, you know, that nature abhors a vacuum. So when there's empty space, it fills up. So Krishna is trying. He's giving his mercy everywhere. And, of course, we're fortunate to have contacted that. And, but there's unlimited mercy to accept. So we get all these instructions. Indra, there's a lot of nice words here that we should be aware of. Duplicity, non-duplicitous. It's very much stressing that, you know, devotee should be straightforward. That means that he, like Bhakti Tirtha Swami always said, you walk your talk. You know, you don't say one thing and do another thing. We're not politicians, not diplomats. On saying one thing and then, but really not meaning what we say. The devotee is straightforward. He's not duplicitous, and especially in the face of Krishna and the spiritual master. So there's Indra, he's saying now he's going to be straight. He's realized, I guess he made some offense. Because in his position, he becomes proud sometimes. And, you know, he's exalted and honored and he starts to forget that he's not the supreme. And he didn't honor the spiritual master. That can happen to anybody. The Mayavadis, because they're trying to be God. One time in Mayapur on a morning walk, there was a little hill going down, and Prabhupada held out his arm, and one devotee was helping him. And then at the bottom, Prabhupada just pushed him really hard, just pushed him away. Everyone was a little surprised, and Prabhupada laughed. He said, "That is Mayavadi." He said, they take the guru and, you know, they do some service, but then when they think I've become God now, they throw the guru out. They don't need anymore. They'll worship the deity. They'll chant the holy name even. But then when they think that they've achieved some, you know, become God, then they don't care for those things anymore. They don't see it as service. They see it as, you know, as a means to transcend, or not really transcend, but to become great. But the Vaishnava, he's serving the guru, and he just wants to serve more and more. The more we learn about Krishna, the more we learn about the glories of the spiritual master and the value of his instructions, the more, you know, we realize how far we have to go. We realize how insignificant we are. So the pure devotees will think themselves to be the lowest. Some people advertise, "I'm a pure devotee. You know, here comes the Mahabharata. Everybody bow down. Everybody immediately join up." But the symptom of the Mahabharata, the Uttamadhikari, is he feels himself to be the lowest. He thinks everyone else is a devotee except him. But actually he's fully absorbed in serving Krishna. The Kanishtha Adhikari, the lowest, they're thinking that I'm the best devotee. There's no one like me. I don't even want to go to the temple because all the other people they're not really good devotees. I'm the only one. I'll just stay home and I'm doing my puja. And there's no one like me. I'm the best of all the devotees. That is the lowest condition. So these things are repeated over and over again, but this non-duplicity or without guile, you know, and we have to make sure we know what these words mean. Sometimes, you know, there's words and I ask the devotees and none of them know what the word means. Who knows what fruitive means? one person, because I told you. Anybody know? Yeah, an old man. Right. And literally in the dictionary, it's not in the ordinary dictionary, but it's in the unabridged. It says enjoyment. You know, it's working for enjoyment. But so I looked in the Veda verse, and I think it was 4,334 times the word fruitive is there. But practically no devotee knows what that word means. So, of course, we get some idea, you know, by reading it. And, you know, people do say things like getting the fruits of your labor and stuff like that. But it's old English. It's not common in modern English. But there's a duplicity also. Like in Japan, when they were translating the word straightforward or something, some of the devotees were thinking, well, that means, you know, if I don't like you, I just tell you, you know, you're really a nonsense and you're really bothering me and you're really stupid and, you know, you got to be straightforward, right? But that's not exactly what it means. But it means honest, without duplicity, straight one, you know, say what you mean, do what you say what you do. You know, we chant. George Harrison said, Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna, and he was always chanting. So he felt, he saw that this is a truthful person. Jai, Vishwambhara Prabhu. So this is a special quality, and in Kali Yuga, most people are crooked. You know, they're saying honest people, you know, can't win in business, and all kinds of things. But devotees should be straightforward. Of course, if you're dealing with a really crooked person, sometimes one has to be a little bit, but straightforward in ordinary dealing. So the acharya should be respected. This is a verse that's quoted, you know, so many times. Just the same as Krishna. Krishna is saying that. Should not disrespect the acharya. You have to be very careful. The third offense to the holy name. Should not think the spiritual master should be an ordinary person. Even we saw with Prabhupada that sometimes those who were close to him in servants, they would start to think that he depends on me. You know, he needs me. And this happens to all of us, so one has to be careful. And then tadvidi pranipatena pariprasena sevaya. Submissive inquiry and service. That is the qualification. There's a very nice morning walk with Srila Prabhupada and with that famous Dr. Patel in Bombay. And they were quite friendly. They were the same age. And Dr. Patel, he knew a lot of Bhagavad Gita. And then whatever Prabhupada said, he would argue. You know, because that's like Hindu dharma, I guess. You know. And so Prabhupada said, you know, he quoted this, pariprasnena sevaya, submissive inquiry. And he said, you have to be submissive. He said, I am submissive. Prabhupada said, you're not submissive. Yes, I am. No, you're not. And they were shouting like anything. And Prabhupada said, you always argue. He said, I don't argue. He said, yes, you do. And, no, I don't. And, yes, you do. You're always arguing. You never, whatever I say, you just argue. And then finally he said, oh, all right. And then later he said, those were the best day of his life. I am submissive. I don't argue. You know, arguing is, but submissive. There's no question. Like sometimes we get questions where they're just challenging, or they're just trying to ask a question that, you know, is very complex, and no matter how you answer it, it'll come out wrong or something. So that type of questioning doesn't do anybody any good. If we're going to ask a question, we should be ready for the answer when we're inquiring from the spiritual master. You know, if we say, well, Gurudev, you know, what should I do? And then, well, no, I don't want to do that. Well, you know, then don't ask, right? If you're not ready to accept the answer. So we should be always inquiring. We're inquiring from Krishna. We're inquiring about the Absolute Truth. We want to know about Krishna. We want to associate with Krishna. So Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna everywhere. And Srila Prabhupada very kindly, you know, revealed all these things for everybody and presented everything in such a way that anyone who will take it up and follow, you know, and it's not easy to understand Krishna all the time. Like people are bewildered, well, you know, about the Bhagavad Gita is on a battlefield. Krishna is telling Arjuna to fight, but he's not telling us to fight. You know, for Arjuna, our fight is different. Prabhupada said one time in London there was some murderer, and you know, he said, "Well, Krishna told Arjuna to kill, so I killed." Then the British took that to say, "Look at the Bhagavad Gita, so bad." But we know if we read the Bhagavad Gita carefully, that's not the message. Messages, introspection, and you know, understanding ourselves and our relationship with Krishna. Sambandha, first we want to connect with Krishna. That's Radha Rama, no, Radha Madan Mohan, and then Sambandha Abhideya, you know, establishing some relationship in that of service. And the connection with Krishna, Radha Govinda. Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. And then Prayojana. Fully realizing, you know, full love of Krishna. Ultimately, that's what this is all about. The Bhagavatam is all bhakti. It's all about service to Krishna. And all these pastimes are all connected with Krishna. So they're not ordinary, even if it's a battle between the demigods and the demons or whatever it is. Everything is to get, you know, to get us to understand like the supreme position of the Supreme Lord, to understand Krishna, and to learn how to serve Krishna. But service begins Shravana Kirtanam, and the most important service, chanting the holy, hearing about Krishna, hearing the holy name, and then chanting the holy name. And that goes on no matter what else we should be doing. Chanting the holy name. And especially congregational chanting. Everyone experiences whenever there's kirtan. Ecstasy, actually. Satisfaction. All the things that everybody wants. And especially when we go out and chant and in the public, then that's what Lord Nityananda was doing every day. That's what Lord Chaitanya sent all his associates out doing, chanting everywhere and telling everyone else to chant. And everything is there in the holy name. Like Haridas Thakur said, he was only chanting. You know, he didn't even, never even went to Vrindavan. He preached about the glories of the holy name, but we don't find, you know, Haridas Thakur absorbed in Rasa Leelas or anything like that. But actually, he was experiencing all rasas. Bhaktisiddhanta explained to you, because he was absorbed in the holy name, and the holy name is Krishna. So he was actually, you know, in ecstatic association with Krishna at all times. And he preached that Lord Chaitanya was in anxiety. He was wondering, you know, well, how can these fallen souls of the Kali Yuga be saved? You know, they're so degraded. What can be done? And Haridas then preached to him about the glories of the holy name. And he said, don't worry, because your Sankirtan movement has already liberated everyone. And then Lord Chaitanya even asked about the non-moving living entities. And Haridas said, even they're liberated. Like when you go in the forest, if you shout really loud, you'll hear what we think is an echo. If you go, Krishna, then you'll hear Krishna. So that is the chanting of the non-moving living entity. They're also chanting. He preached like that very nicely. And Lord Chaitanya was thinking, how can Haridas, this is my most intimate, you know, meditations, and how can he know this? And he was so thankful. So it's explained that Haridas was pacifying the mind of the Lord, and that all devotees should be always thinking how to pacify the mind of the Lord. So when we're preaching the glories of the Holy Name, when we're distributing the books, which is full of the Holy Name, when we're chanting the Holy Name, you know, when we're maintaining temples to bring people to hear the Holy Name, to experience Krishna, all those things are pleasing to the Lord, pleasing to the Guru, pleasing to the previous Acharyas. Spiritual master is just handing down, he's just bringing in. Everyone is meant to do that. Yare deke, tare deke, Krishna upadesh, wherever we go and whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna. And this way become a guru, Lord Chaitanya said, and save your land. It's for everybody. To guru, it means teacher. There's Vartma production, a guru, just the first person who tells us about Krishna. And all of us are doing that to some extent, meeting people, telling them about Krishna, introducing Krishna to so many people. If we just go around, even just in wearing tilak and people see that, they're being introduced to Krishna, even they don't know what it is. We'd like to become known more, that everybody knows that's Krishna, but even that just in itself is preaching. There's one doctor family here, they're in Leicester, I think, right? They wear tilak all the time in their practice. And people ask them, what is it? And then they preach. Everybody likes it. They haven't, you know, gone bankrupt or anything. They haven't. But even that, what to speak if we're out chanting and dancing ecstatically, if we're having a big festival like Rath Yatra or something. So many people are seeing that, and seeing the deity, and getting prasadam. And, you know, these are the activities of Lord Chaitanya. This is the activities of the, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is a leela, and we're just fortunate to be carrying on. We don't want to become Indra, you know, or become a demigod, but we learn about Indra because he is a great devotee, but he's got material desires also. His service is like conditional. He's doing a difficult service, but he's getting the perks. You know, he's a king of heaven. He has all these dancing girls. He's got so much opulence. He needs something in exchange for his service. The pure devotee is not asking for anything. He just wants to give to Krishna, like the gopis. They don't even if Krishna wants to reciprocate, they don't want him to. They only care about Krishna's pleasure. They're only thinking like that. But by nature, Krishna reciprocates. Krishna feels obliged. He's grateful. So that means that whatever someone does for Krishna, he'll never forget, and he'll be always thinking how to reciprocate. But when Krishna, like Prabhupada said, his father told him, we can give to Krishna with 2 hands, but he can give back with 10 hands. So, you know, he'll just automatically give back much more. In the case of the gopis, it's millions of times more than they can give him, he gives back. And then they think, no, they don't want to take from Krishna, so they get more inspired to give to Krishna. And there's a constant competition. That's gratitude, that's an important quality of Krishna, and it's supposed to be a human quality, to be grateful. That anything, you know, anyone does for us, that we should be thinking, you know, how to reciprocate. And Krishna also, if someone makes some offense to him, he doesn't take that very seriously. But if someone does even a little bit of service, he takes that very seriously. And he wants to reciprocate. So gratitude is very important. Bhishma Devan is discussing with Yudhisthira about prayaschitta, atonement, you know. So he's going over many things, and, you know, for every sinful activity, there's some sort of atonement one can do, you know, in the material sense. Of course, the best atonement is to just surrender to Krishna and chant the holy name. That's the only real atonement that really works. Otherwise, like Parikshit said, after hearing about the hellish planets, he asked, you know, how is it that people can, you know, suffer so much, you know, atonement or prayaschitta for their sins, but then just do it again? And that's the way it is. But when one really atones by surrendering to Krishna, that's better. But he said that, you know, there's atonement for everything, and many of them we could never try to enforce in this day and age because it sounds very cruel. But, you know, cutting off the hand of a thief, cooking, you know, adulteresses and iron beds, and these things that, like the hellish planets. But he said for an ingratitude, for an ungracious person who has no gratitude, who's not grateful, there's no atonement. You know, someone is just thinking, you know, well, that person didn't do enough for me, they should have done much more. And, you know, that kind of mentality that we find very common in Kali Yuga. That not being grateful, not saying thank you, not feeling like, just feeling like, give me more, give me more, give me more. And especially if one is not grateful to the spiritual master, grateful to the devotees who are all gurus in one sense. If someone is very advanced, he sees everyone as a shiksha guru. But if he has no gratitude, not grateful to Krishna, who's given everything, even the basic necessities of life are given by Krishna. Water and fire and air and all the things we need to live, they're all, only Krishna can give those things. If someone is not grateful, if someone is, you know, abusing those things and exploiting and taking more than, trying to take more than he needs, then there's no atonement for them, except surrendering to Krishna and changing. And to understand Krishna, everything is given in the Bhagavatam. These crazy scientists, you know, they're just spending more and more millions and billions of dollars on telescopes to try to supposedly see the beginning of creation and understand everything. And microscopes and atom smashers. Now they've got the biggest atom smasher ever. And they say they're going to find the real thing, the smallest thing. The smallest thing is the super soul. Krishna is the smallest. And they'll never see that. In fact, they don't even see the atoms that they show us pictures of. They're just speculating them.